Thursday, October 11th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. Hey, if you are tired of the same old sports talk, if you're sick of just the arguments and some of the takes that just don't make a lot of sense, hang out here for a while. You're going to like it a little better. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. We prefer to laugh at a lot of the sports world. Hopefully, we can make you smile once or twice a day. And we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. You know, I hope your week is going well. Hope things are going smooth. The weekend is already beginning to come into view, and that is always a good thing. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know how your week is going. We would love to hear from you. Email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a suggestion. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you've got a question like I received yesterday just about the coaching situation down at the University of Oklahoma. Hey, feel free to send it over to us. We will always get your response. And sometimes we may end up using what you sent here on the show. So feel free to send that in. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. We do have a few news stories coming out in the world of sports that I want to discuss. And as we do on most Thursdays, we also do have a few sports media overreactions of the week. Because it seems like every single week, we are being told things by the sports media world. And on Thursday, we like to take a little bit of a closer look, see if they make any sense whatsoever. Also, you know, last week, we took a look at a few early Heisman contenders over in college football. Well, the NFL season is beginning to take a little more shape now. And today, I wanted to look at a few players that could be in contention for the league MVP, at least right now. And you know, the list that we came up with, it is significantly different than I think I would have thought it was going to be prior to the season. Got a lot to get to today on the Daily Dose. Let's start off in the NBA, where it sounds like all-star Jimmy Butler participated in the Minnesota Timberwolves practice on Wednesday. And during that practice, Butler apparently was not in the best of moods. He was verbally challenging his teammates. He was yelling at his coaches. He was yelling at front office executives. They say Jimmy Butler was very emotional, and he was taking verbal shots at his president and head coach Tom Thibodeau, as well as general manager Scott Layden, and he was even going at teammates Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Now, Butler hadn't practiced with the team at all yet this season. He has been requesting a trade. He asked for the trade nearly 3 weeks ago. The guy clearly wants out. He doesn't want to be in Minnesota. I don't know exactly why. I don't know exactly what his reasons are, but he doesn't want to be in Minnesota. Does Minnesota move him? Do they give in to his demands? Do they ship him off to maybe the Miami Heat or maybe to Washington? Do they get rid of him and say, hey, we're going to get what we can get for him? The problem for Minnesota is they know they're going to take a loss. You're not going to get what Jimmy Butler's worth. Everyone knows he wants out. Everyone knows you are kind of in a bad position, so you're not going to get much in the way of value for Jimmy Butler. Do you send him out, or do you just make him come into work every day and he hates your guts and you know he hates you and you're starting to hate him and he just wants to leave? I guess we will see what Minnesota does. Hey, do we have that clip of Jimmy Butler yesterday? We have that clip? Yeah, somehow, and I don't know how we were able to do this, the Daily Dose was actually able to get a clip of Jimmy Butler in Timberwolves practice yesterday. Here is Jimmy Butler yesterday in practice.
Don't talk to me, alright? Knock it off!
Yeah, I mean, you can clearly see dude is unhappy. I don't know. The Minnesota Timberwolves have a serious decision to make. Switching over to the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have been plagued by injuries at running back, have made a move. They have signed free agent running back Jamal Charles to a one-year deal. The team announced that actually on Tuesday. The move comes after their number three running back, Corey Grant, had to be placed on injured reserve with a foot injury. Grant has actually been pressed into playing time because Leonard Fournette is out indefinitely with a hamstring injury, and their number two running back, TJ Yeldon, has been playing with an ankle injury. Now, just hearing this story, do you understand at all why it is here at the Daily Dose that sometimes we tend to make fun of the sports world? We tend to point and laugh at the sports world. Think about this scenario for just a second. The Jacksonville Jaguars, a professional football team in the NFL, who apparently they have some smart people in that organization, I would assume, right? Certainly smarter than this clown hosting the Daily Dose, just some yokel from Broomfield, Colorado. They have to be smarter than I am, right? Those Jacksonville Jaguars, who have had three running backs go down with injuries, have gone out and signed Jamaal Charles to help out. Jamaal Charles, a running back with a history of injuries. He blew his ACL in 2011. He blew his other ACL in 2015. And then that ACL never healed and he tore his meniscus in 2016. This is the guy that is expected to fortify the Jags' banged up running back crew. This is what those smart people, this is what the brain trust down in Jacksonville headquarters came up with. Is it me? Or is that like a little bit odd? I am just going to say this. I will go on record saying this. I don't know how Jamaal Charles will do. He does have a burst. He is very, very quick. But I hope that Jacksonville went ahead and paid the extra money for that extended warranty, because I have a feeling that their latest purchase just might break. Like, there just might be one of those warranty situations where you have to turn it in. Yeah, can we just do the turn in and I just get a new one because this one's broken? I hope they paid that extra. You know, like when you go to the electronics store and you're buying like a pair of earbuds and they're like $9.99 and they're like, now for another $24, you could get the extended warranty. No, I'm not getting the extended warranty. The warranty is more than the item itself. Why would I pay for that? Hey, they're earbuds. I know they're probably going to break in a week. I get it. I understand the risk. I'm going to take it. But with this Jamaal Charles thing, yeah, you probably better pay for that extra warranty because I bet he's going to break in a week or two. It's just what he does. Also, I hope that extended warranty covers fumbles too. That's going to be very important. Like, one thing to cover if the item, you know, just breaks down and doesn't work anymore. Another thing to cover, well, I have the item. It's still working, but every time we give the item the ball, it drops the ball on the ground. That is going to be key as well. You know, we did also get some PGA news yesterday, and I'm just going to be transparent. I'm just going to be honest about it. I'm not sure how to feel about it. Apparently, as part of a new 11-year agreement, the PGA Championship is going to remain with CBS Sports, but they are also going to be picking up a powerful partner. They will be partnering with ESPN for weekday rounds beginning in 2020. That was announced yesterday. The networks are going to combine to deliver 175 hours of coverage across broadcast and cable and digital platforms. Financial terms of the deal still haven't been announced yet, but it is pretty clear that they would like the PGA Championship to be moved to May as opposed to being in August. So they are going to be pushing for that. But I'm just sitting here thinking about that whole situation. And one, I probably watch all the golf that I really care to. I mean, I'll turn it on starting on Thursday, just kind of check the scores. That's about it. Friday, just kind of check the scores. Saturday, maybe watch a little bit of it. And then on Sunday, depending, maybe there's a big move. Maybe there's someone moving up the board. Maybe you have a no name. Maybe you have a Tiger Woods making a push. And that kind of thing can really be fun to watch. I'm not a huge golf junkie, but I'll definitely keep an eye on the big tournaments. But I'm not sure if I want ESPN involved in this whole situation. I know how ESPN does business, is what I'm saying. I know sometimes they tend to get a little preachy, is that the word? They tend to have an agenda. I guess that's what I want to say. I don't know if I want ESPN involved with golf. Right now, golf, very nice. Coverage, pretty good. I don't have an issue with golf. I'm just saying, if ESPN is bringing it to us, I mean, I'm sure they're going to be busting in with segments talking about how they think LeBron James is probably the favorite to win the Masters. See, I don't need that. They're going to come in and tell us, you know, when we're looking at golf and we're just looking at the situation right now, we know Tiger's trying to get back. We know we've got big hitters like Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson out there. But here at ESPN, we feel like the SEC really is the best conference in all of golf. See, I don't need that. It just seems like nonsense. I don't want to have ESPN coming in on Thursday and telling me all weekend how Caitlyn Jenner is the greatest female golfer in the world. You see what I'm saying? It concerns me a little. I just want to watch the tournament. ESPN, just bring the tournament. Please don't bring me your silly nonsense. I don't want it. Hey, coming back. Okay, it's your choice. The NFL season is now 5 games in, so I know it's early. But if you had to pick a league MVP right now, who would you pick? It's not as easy as it sounds. Now, before we get to our sports media overreactions of the week, this NFL season so far, it's a little bit odd. We are now 5 weeks into the season, and we have some kind of weird things happening. A few of the teams we thought would be contenders, they're not getting it done. A few other teams are stepping up instead. But today, I want to look at specific players, and I want to look at players that if the season were to end today, they would be the top contenders for the Most Valuable Player Award. And I'm telling you right now, we've got a few interesting candidates that we probably didn't expect to be here. Starting off at number 5, yes, I realize the NFL never hands their MVP award to a defensive player. They haven't done it since they gave it to Lawrence Taylor clear back in 1986. Right now, just admitting you are a defensive player in the NFL, I think it's probably grounds to be suspended, maybe fined. But the Chicago Bears are in first place in the NFC North, and if you're picking the best player from that team, who would you pick? Mitchell Trubisky? He's not consistent enough. I mean, running back Jordan Howard has been solid, but I don't think that name's bringing any votes in. I think you would have to probably go with newly acquired pass rusher Khalil Mack, who already has 5 sacks, 1 interception, and 4 forced fumbles. Again, is Khalil Mack going to win the NFL MVP? I doubt it. But he at least gets a mention for how he has helped this Chicago defense. They are looking like an elite unit. I would put him on the list right now. Moving up to number 4, we have to put this guy somewhere on the list just because he's that guy. I mean, you just have to. But so far this season, Tom Brady hasn't been overly spectacular just yet. Through the first 5 games, he's completing 67% of his passes. He has 12 touchdowns, but do you realize Tom Brady also has 6 interceptions already? Still, the Patriots are, of course, in first place in the AFC East, as usual, like always, and Tom Brady is just getting his wide receiving group back to full strength. So, while he hasn't done as much yet, I think Brady is probably about to go on one of those patented tears through the rest of the season, as long as everyone can stay healthy around him and he can stay healthy. Gotta put Tom Brady on the list. Has he been exceptional so far? No, not really, but I think it's going to get better. Moving on to number 3, we've already talked about this guy a little this week, as he broke the all-time NFL passing record, and you just know that passing record is the kind of thing the voters would bring up when they voted for New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees. But the Saints are also in first place in that NFC South, and Brees right now is completing a ridiculous 78% of his passes. The ball isn't hitting the ground in New Orleans. That's amazing, even for Drew Brees. He also already has 11 touchdowns, and he hasn't thrown an interception yet this year. Drew Brees is definitely a contender for the NFL MVP this year. Moving on to number 2 on our list, he is leading the best offense in the NFL right now. And he's doing it at a pretty crazy level. The Los Angeles Rams offense is averaging 468 yards and 35 points a game. And quarterback Jared Goff, he is looking like he has just come into his own under head coach Sean McVay. You can just see Goff, he's dropping back. The game is moving slower. He's seeing his targets. He knows exactly where he wants to go. The Rams are 5-0. They're already pulling away in the NFC West. And right now, that Los Angeles Rams offense, it just looks unstoppable. They can spread you out horizontally. They can go out wide to the sideline. They can also spread you out vertically. And Goff does love throwing that football downfield. You could make a case that maybe running back Todd Gurley should be on this list too, but we're sticking with Jared Goff because we know that those NFL voters love them some quarterbacks. And as a result, I think Jared Goff would get the nod over Gurley. But if I were picking the NFL's most valuable player right now, I would have to go with a guy that has to be good, or his team just has no chance whatsoever. Because that Kansas City Chiefs defense, yeah, you can spin it however you want to, they're not very good. So quarterback Patrick Mahomes had better be great. On the season, the Chiefs are still undefeated. They are also 5-0. Mahomes has thrown for 14 touchdowns. He has just two interceptions. Now, in the last two games, we have seen both the Denver Broncos and those Jacksonville Jaguars defenses slow Mahomes down a little, but only a little. Against Denver, Mahomes threw just one touchdown. Okay, hey, Denver did a decent job. But he did still have over 300 yards passing. And the Chiefs came to Denver, came back from being down 10 points, and beat the Broncos in Denver. Then, against the Jaguars, he threw not only his first interception, but Mahomes also threw his second interception. Everyone talked about, hey, Jacksonville shutting him down. Well, I mean, Patrick Mahomes still ended up throwing for 313 yards, and the Chiefs blew the Jaguars out. Now, I do expect NFL defenses to start throwing some different looks at Mahomes. They are definitely getting a better book on him, and they are going to start making things tougher for him. But right now, if you are picking an NFL MVP, I think the NFL voters would go with the best quarterback on one of the best teams who is doing an awful lot. Patrick Mahomes, I think, would be named the NFL MVP right now. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be the MVP by the end of the season, but right now, yeah, I think they would give it to him. Let's move on to our Thursday overreactions of the week. You know, sometimes I just wish the sports media wasn't saying things just to get clicks. They weren't saying things that they don't even believe, but I think that that's what they do. They do it every single week, and on Thursdays, we like to take a little closer look and see some of the silly things that are being thrown out, just see if they make any sense.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Let's see what silly overreactions they might be jamming down our throat this week. And I'll warn you ahead of time, the first two on this list are about the Denver Broncos, because I'm here in Denver and I'm hearing a lot of this, but I have heard it nationally as well. Here are two of the things I'm hearing about the Denver Broncos. The first one, the Denver Broncos are struggling. Of course, their offense has been non-existent. They should think about benching veteran quarterback Case Keenum and bringing in Chad Kelly. Hey, there's no question. This Denver team looks like they are on the verge of a major breakdown. The head coach and defensive coordinator, yeah, they should be very, very nervous. And there's no question Case Keenum is struggling this year. So far, Keenum has 5 touchdowns, but he has 7 interceptions. But here's the problem with benching Case Keenum, who is an experienced veteran, for Chad Kelly, a kid that has never even been in a regular season game. The Broncos' offensive line is horrible. Keenum has already been sacked 13 times. He gets hit on nearly every single play. So let me ask you this. When we are hearing this narrative, hey, they should bench Keenum, put in the young Kelly. Why do people think that a less experienced quarterback is going to do better behind what is a horrible offensive front? Hey, I'll be honest. If I'm Chad Kelly, I see the head coach start to kind of turn around and maybe look for me. I am hiding under the bench. I'm getting behind the Gatorade jug. Hey, don't put me out there. I don't want anything to do with that mess. Do this. Go rent a couple of turnstiles from the movie theater. Put them at offensive tackle because they would do a better job than what that Denver Broncos offensive line is doing right now. At least maybe they would slow the defenders down a little bit. Sounds like a great idea. Hey, put Chad Kelly in. He's not a runner. What is he going to do? He's going to go out there and get himself killed. You need to get a better offensive line. They didn't do that in the offseason. As a result, hey, you're going to have to suffer through it a little bit. The only way you go to Kelly is if Keenum, gets hurt. Doesn't make a lot of sense, though. And then, again, not to make this all about the Denver Broncos, but locally, we are also getting this old thing. This team is horrible. The Denver Broncos just need to blow things up and start over. Now, if you haven't heard that take before, and it happens a lot, we hear it with a number of teams across the league. If a team is kind of stuck in mediocrity, we hear sports fans at the bar have a few beers, and they start talking like they're really smart. I'll tell you what they need to do. They just need to blow the whole thing up and start over. Now, what that is interpreted as, that's kind of bar sports talk for, I don't have any idea how to fix this, but when I was a little kid and I was trying to build like a Lego city or something, if I got stuck and I couldn't do it and I couldn't figure it out, I would just kick it across the room, go to my room, cry myself to sleep, and when I woke up, my parents had put it together for me and everything would be all better. You know, that sounds wonderful, right? But that crap doesn't work in real life. First off, let me ask you this. When it comes to the Denver Broncos, what is there to blow up? They don't have any pieces to blow it up. They don't have any players. What is there to blow up? Cut Von Miller? There's your blowing up. They don't have any big name players. They don't have this roster full of moneymakers. You've got Von Miller. I guess you got Case Keenum. You want to cut both of them? Start over? I guess you could do that. What else do they even have? What is it you're going to blow up? And where does that get you? You still have to go back out and find those same guys. Well, we still need a veteran quarterback. We still need a really good pass rusher. Blowing things up is the lowest common denominator of sports talk nonsense that I have ever heard. Hey, coming back, we are going to continue our Thursday sports media overreactions of the week. Was that Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov fight really good for the UFC? Are the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles already done this year? And is Drew Brees the greatest quarterback of all time? We are hearing all of those this week. So let's continue with our sports media overreactions of the week. And one of the things that we are hearing everywhere is that the Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov fight was great for the UFC. Hey, it got them a ton of publicity. There is major interest in a rematch, and the pay-per-view for it would be one of the biggest in history. Yeah, I'm not sold on that. Was it intriguing to see Conor get whooped and then see those extracurricular activities that took place following the fight? Absolutely. But I wouldn't care one bit about seeing this rematch. Khabib dominated this fight with his strength and his grappling ability. I didn't see anything that made me think it could ever end any different. These two, I think, could fight 10 times, and it would turn out the same way all 10 times. And again, I didn't think it was that fun of a fight to watch. A great technical fight by Khabib with his grappling ability? Yeah, absolutely. But it was kind of like watching a 1-0 pitcher's duel or a 7-6 defensive struggle in football. I'm not saying it's without merit, but it's not going to get me rushing out to spend $90 for the pay-per-view. And here is one question that I do have for everyone that thinks it was so great. Would you take free ringside seats to a rematch of this? Yeah, I'm not going to. Now I got to worry about somebody coming over the cage. I thought the cage was to keep people in and to keep people out. It's obviously not working. You got to put a roof on this thing? Because that didn't work so well. Yeah, I don't want to sit ringside at one of those fights. I might end up getting punched in the face. Don't need that. Not sure it was great for UFC. Another hot take floating around this week is the idea that the Cleveland Browns might actually be a little bit underrated. You know, they could be undefeated right now. Think about it. They tied the Steelers in week one. They lost by a field goal in week two to the New Orleans Saints when their kicker actually missed two extra points and two field goals. Then they lost that close one to the Oakland Raiders in week four on that crappy changing of the spot of the ball. But honestly, the Cleveland Browns could be 5-0. They could be contending for home field advantage in the postseason. And hey, that's totally true. It is a very, very fine line. The Cleveland Browns could be 5-0. And also, they could be 0-5. It goes both ways. Hey, young teams have to learn how to win. That is part of the journey. Sometimes you lose games you feel you should have won. Winners find ways to win games. Cleveland Browns aren't winners yet. This is all part of the process. You don't just say, well, hey, they could be 5-0. Yeah, they could also be 0-5. Another media hot take we are getting this week is that the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles are done. Hey, running back Jay Ajayi went down with that torn ACL. The offensive line is not good. Carson Wentz looks extremely rusty, and suddenly that defense no longer looks like an elite unit like it did. Plus, you have the Philadelphia Eagles now getting everyone's best shot, and I think it is starting to wear on them. This team, maybe they should just shut down Wentz, wait for next year. Yeah, I'm not actually going to buy into that. You only have so many years to contend for a title. Ask the 85 Chicago Bears. Doesn't always just work. You don't just always plug everything back in and it all just starts back up and works wonderfully again. You can't just say, well, we'll just get them next year. There might not be a next year, but here is the one caution I would say about throwing out the Eagles quite yet. Think of the division they play in. Who's going to beat them? Washington has their own issues. Dallas has maybe more issues. And the New York Giants look terrible. So as bad as the Eagles might look, that division might actually help them get healthy. Slow down on saying the Eagles are done this year. I'm not buying it. Have they had some setbacks? Yes. Are they suffering from maybe a little Super Bowl hangover? Yeah, it's possible. And Carson Wentz, they probably should have let him sit for another 2 months. But I'm not ready to give up on the Eagles just yet. Not in that bad division. They can still win that bad division by 3 or 4 games easily. So I'm not ready to give up on the Eagles season just yet. The final overreaction we have heard this week is that with New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees breaking the all-time NFL passing record, hey, should Drew Brees be in that conversation as maybe the greatest quarterback of all time? Hey, I'm okay with him being in the conversation. I really am. Think of the things Drew Brees has done in his amazing career. Almost a 70% completion percentage. 72,000 yards, 500 touchdowns. He has won a Super Bowl. And he won it in New Orleans, no less. A city basically known for having a horrible professional football team. So is Drew Brees in the conversation? Sure he is. No question. Is he at the top? Well, let me ask you, Daily Dose listener. I'm going to give you the option. Would you take Drew Brees over Tom Brady? No. Would you take him over John Elway? No. Would you take him over, say, Joe Montana? No. How about Peyton Manning? No. Johnny Unitas? Probably not. How about Dan Marino? Again, that's a no. Maybe after those guys, maybe I would take him then. But with those guys, I would take all of them first. You know, my biggest problem with Drew Brees, and please don't misunderstand, I love Drew Brees. Love everything about that guy. Love his work ethic. Love the way he has proven you don't have to be 6'5". He just goes out and he plays football. He understands. He is so, so accurate. The one thing I struggle with Drew Brees, name the big games he has won outdoors. He has benefited a ton from playing in that dome. And I'm not hating on him. I'm just stating the facts. He has benefited a lot from playing inside. He hasn't done as well outdoors. And for that reason, I would probably take 5 or 6 or 7 guys ahead of Drew Brees. Love Drew Brees. Is he the greatest of all time? Probably not. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be looking at the latest and greatest in the world of sports news. We will also have our weekend sports preview. Going to be a lot of things to watch this weekend. Plus, as we do every single Friday, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback, for the questions, and the suggestion. Thank you so much for sharing the show. It is appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.